Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on a Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Now, Seattle has some particular significance for me for lots of reasons. I've got a lot of family here, some of whom are here in the audience tonight. I also had my first abortion at the Seattle Planned Parenthood. Yay! Notice I said first. I said first, and I don't want Seattle, I don't want you guys to feel insecure. It was my best one. Heads and tails above the rest. If I could Yelp review it.
Wow, so much clapping and laughter for such low depravity. This woman's name is Dr. Willie Parker, and she was, you know, talking about her abortion. When people want to advocate for abortion in the United States, and, you know, we don't even hear this very often, safe, legal, and rare. And then I say, you know, there are people who want to shout their abortion. They go, nobody wants to shout their abortion. Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, there's a movie out right now that you've probably heard of, Unplanned, and the woman who has so much strength and so much wisdom to share with so many people on this issue, pro-life advocate Abby Johnson, on her book turned into a movie, Unplanned, online at abbyjohnson.org. Abby, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So definitely abortion is something that I find myself, generally speaking, before it's too long, too late, I find my way back in and trying to advocate for the understanding of what is taking place in our country, the frightening nature with which people are being led to, shout their abortions and embrace abortion as something that's basically scientifically natural. Abby, you have a really interesting story. You have a really interesting journey that got you to the point where you were writing the books, The Walls Are Talking, and Unplanned, and now we have the movie. Abby Johnson, can you tell me a little bit about your journey to this point in time and what your message is to people?
Sure, yeah. I worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years. I was an abortion clinic director at one of their facilities in Texas, and ended up leaving in October of 2009 after a series of events that caused me to really question what we were doing, but ultimately ended up leaving after witnessing a live ultrasound-guided abortion procedure and seeing a 13-week-old baby fight and struggle for his life against the abortion instruments. And I knew then that I could no longer pretend that there wasn't life in the womb, that humanity didn't exist. I could no longer pretend that I was some sort of warrior for justice when mm-hmm. I had just witnessed this incredible injustice in the womb.
Yeah, being part of Planned Parenthood and having seen that with your own eyes, I'm curious, in the wake of the movie Unplanned, it's had such great success. Largely in part because Twitter took them off of Twitter for a hot second, and then the revolt that took place after that really drew a lot of attention to the movie, and people have felt very compelled to go see it and support it. Do you think that the American public is being exposed to what you were exposed to, truth, in what is actually taking place in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are ready for the truth. I mean, we see these crazy laws that are being passed throughout the country, and I think that people are really wanting to seek truth, to understand what abortion really is. And it's been so watered down and normalized by our society. I think people are finally figuring out, like, maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not as sanitized as they're saying it is. Maybe it's not as normal as, you know, the secular media wants us to believe. And so I think they are looking for that truth. And I think that's one of the reasons that Unplanned has done so well, is because it's showing that truth in a very real form to people who are searching.
We're speaking with pro-life advocate Abby Johnson, author of The Walls Are Talking and Unplanned, online at abbyjohnson.org and on Twitter at Abby Johnson. In the time that you have changed directions from, you know, supporting Planned Parenthood, working for Planned Parenthood, now working directly against them, how has the industry that used to support you financially and you used to, I assume, support the pro-abortion or pro-choice industry as well as somebody who worked there, since you've made that change, what's their reaction been to you?
Well, I mean, they're not fans of me, what I'm doing in the least bit. But, you know, they really just try to ignore me. I think that they try to pretend that my story doesn't exist. They try to pretend that all of the other workers who have left through my ministry, and then there were none who are speaking out, they try to pretend that we don't, that none of us exist, because they have to. In order to keep their lie going, they have to silence our voices. They cannot give any sort of credence to our experiences, because we know the truth in a way that the majority of Americans don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking with a woman who had messaged our Facebook show page last night, and she was telling me that she was a single mom and raised her daughter for 10 years or 8 years by herself. And, you know, I commended her for making the decision to do that. And she said she never felt like she had a choice. It was always what was intended for her. There are a lot of women, and I assume that you've experienced this with a lot of women who do sit in these clinics and they're faced with this impossible choice. And it's not something that everybody wants to go out and shout. I'd imagine there are many, many, many women who've participated in abortion who have since then had very affecting emotions after the case. And something that I always try to advocate for when we have these pro-life conversations is for the pro-life community to not just focus on the baby, the child, the fetus, because, yes, that's we want to save that life. But these women being put in the position in a clinic, often most of the time likely by themselves, that are faced with this choice and this political pressure on both sides to make the decision, the choice that is going to be the quote unquote right choice. What do you say to pro-life advocates when it comes to paying attention to that women? How do we best support the woman in that room and help them while it is still legal to choose abortion? How do we help those women choose life?
Well, you know, I feel like the pro-life movement must be about accompaniment. And, you know, it's such a lie, even the word pro-choice is such a lie. I mean, women don't have abortions. They don't walk into abortion clinics and say, wow, I'm so excited to exercise my right to choose today. They walk into abortion clinics because they feel like they have no other choice. Mm-hmm. They feel like they have no other options. Dr. David Reardon did a study, showed 64% of women who had abortions felt forced or coerced. That's not choice. That's not freedom. And so our job, you know, as a people of faith and as a pro-life community, should be to live life with these women and to say, what is it that you need? What resources can I provide for you? What can I help provide for you that will make this decision one about life and not death? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really where we have to make our focus. Because I think that we will see a time where I really do believe that we will see a time where abortion is unthinkable in our society. But I don't think it's going to come through legislation. I think it's going to come through stories. It's going to come from the women who have worked in abortion clinics who are now pro-life, women who have had abortions and deeply regret that decision. It's going to come from those stories. And we need to feel empowered to use our testimonies to help other women who are in that same situation.
Abby, I think you're so spot on. And would you say there are a lot of women who were in your position working in those clinics who have then parted ways and really gone in the other direction as well?
Yeah, I mean, our ministry and Then There Were None has helped over 500 abortion workers leave their jobs in the past 6 years. And that number continues to climb. And we've helped 7 abortion doctors leave their jobs and now work in life-affirming clinics. And so, you know, I mean, yes, hearts are changing, even those who are working directly inside of these clinics.
Well, Abby, thank you so much for sharing some time. I encourage people to go see the film Unplanned and really check out your books, The Walls Are Talking and Unplanned. Follow Abby on Twitter at Abby Johnson. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. It's a real honor to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people have seen Unplanned, and it's really interesting, if you ask me, and I guess you kind of are because you're listening. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Twitter goes and blocks the Unplanned Movies Twitter account. And everyone goes, hey, what the heck's going on here? And then people rally to support. It just goes to show you how when things, you know, I can only imagine you're putting this movie out, you're facing a ton of adversity. The God's Nell movie, wasn't that the one with when we were talking to Superman, who was in it?
Yes.
When Dean Cain, when we had him on the show and he was talking about the massive amount of adversity that they went through to make the movie, to promote the movie, to get it actually in theaters. All of this adversity experienced as well by the movie Unplanned. And in that adversity, Unplanned had the opportunity to rally troops around the support of the movie and the exposure that it got, because Twitter, in Twitter's infinite wisdom, said, you know, this is not good content for our site. And then, oh, oops, sorry, you're back. Everything's fine. You're back. Nothing to see here. Well, not so much. So hopefully you've been able to see that movie. If you haven't, I'd encourage you to check it out and support Abby Johnson. I can only imagine the things that she's seen in her life and the things that the compulsion that she would have now to try to do everything she can to stop it from happening anymore. It's just real information. It's truth. It's science. And for some reason, our country just does not seem to embrace that. At Abby Johnson on Twitter, abbyjohnson.org. Go check out her website and check out her books. I think they'd be a great opportunity, a great read for you. Let's take a quick break. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. We'll be back in just a second.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
You know, Kamala Harris, she's got a response for everything. Do you know what it is?
What's that?
There's a conversation that has been happening. There's room for that conversation. There's a conversation that all of us have been hearing.
There's definitely a conversation to be had on that subject.
Conversation saying, we should have that conversation. One conversation with someone in the Midwest, that's an important conversation to have. Another conversation with somebody in the South, let's have that conversation. Another conversation with people who live on the coast, I'm having the conversation. I think we should have that conversation. 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 Conversation.
Conversation.
She likes to have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation.
How do you feel about that? Well, I think that's a conversation that we can have.
Easiest answer.
A good political answer. Now, here's some things that are fun to listen to, because I'm more interested in what people don't say or aren't willing to weigh in on than what they are willing to weigh on. You know, if I say, Katie, what do you really think about the necessity of having somebody who's not a white male become the president of the United States? And if you're Bernie Sanders, he's a white male, you go, look. And then you go into what we need to do. Basically, what you say is, look, or the important thing is, or the point we need to be focused on, but it's usually look, which means don't look.
Mm-hmm.
Look in politics means don't look. And what are you not looking at? Whatever the question that was just asked, the answer that is to be expected there. That's politics.
Spinning.
Yes. Politics is all about what you can get away with not having to say, and always going back to, you've got 5 points in your pocket. You just go through those points over and over and over again. Look. Look, Katie. What we really need to be focused on here is the fact that Donald Trump is a tyrant who has taken over this country and he hates anybody who's not a white male like himself. I mean, that's generally is the way these politicians answer questions. Everything is a sidestep or a pivot or some sort of spinny runaround so that the question that is asked doesn't have to be answered. And you get it over and over and over and over again. Listen to Elizabeth Warren here.
Doctors and nurses don't hear African-American women's medical issues the same way that they hear the same things from white women.
Holy cow. They shouldn't be doctors then.
Yeah, what?
That would say a lot about the individual doctors that she's talking about. The Democratic primary right now, the reason why it drives me so batty is that the things that we're being told that we need to be outraged about repeatedly are things that I didn't ever know were even occurring. This type of discrimination that Elizabeth Warren is weighing in on. And it becomes very apparent to me that if you want to talk about the economy, like Barack Obama running in 2008, running for president in 2008, when you have George Bush, a Republican in office, signing stimulus after stimulus with a bipartisan Congress to spend our way out of this massive economic problem that we were in. The economy was trashed. So all Obama has to say in that campaign is, do you want more of what you've had before? Or do you need something? Do we need to have a different opinion? It's like, you obviously don't want to have what you had before. You obviously want to have something different.
Mm-hmm.
But hope and change. So then you run on hope and change, and then when everybody wants to change it back to the way it was before we started implementing these socialistic kind of tendencies and behaviors, like what we wanted to be universal health care, you're like, no, actually, we liked it better before it was a socialist epicenter. We liked it better before that. You know what we should do? We should make America great again. Wait, what? How racist of you. You want to make America great again because you thought America was great when we had slaves. Huh? Like, I need a map. Somebody put the Waze location into my phone and guide me to the location where this all makes sense, because I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Again, I go back to Cory Booker, who knows exactly what he needs as a running mate. Doesn't matter who it is. It's just got to be a chick.
The question, if you didn't hear it, is, well, I pledge to have a woman running mate. I will have a woman running mate. To me, it's really clear that we do that.
Oh, it's really clear, huh?
I pledge. That is a dumb thing to be doing this early.
Can we get a, you know what we need? We need a woman. Can we get a woman in here? We're just going to put her second in line because I'm a man, so I'm going to be on the top of the ticket. Which is okay, because Cory Booker is a minority man, so it's going to be okay that, you know, if they were really dedicated to the importance of a woman in this role, Cory Booker should get out of the race.
Yep.
So Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, any of these other women would have the opportunity to, you know, start a conversation.
There's a conversation that has been happening.
Yeah, that's what should happen. Get out of the race, Cory Booker. If you want to be for women's rights, you're a man, which makes you obviously not good enough to be the president of the United States. It should be a woman.
Move over.
Move on out. get out of here? Or do you only need a woman so that you can have appropriated a woman onto your ticket so you can check the box? Because, you know, women, we're simple-minded people. We don't really think for ourselves. We see a woman who knows how uncomfortable it is to wear a bra for most of the day and have to wear high heels to you know, prance around and do all the womanly things. We're going to see a woman up there who's going to be living the same life we are, and we're going to go, that's our ticket. We know Cory Booker's on the top, but he picked a woman, so he's all right with us. That's how simple-minded you are, Katie. Didn't you know that? Mm. You're going to see a woman who has to worry about dry shampoo and you know, deodorant that doesn't stick on the outside of their strapless dresses and all this type of stuff. And you're going to go, that's my girl. She should run the free world in case Cory Booker, the man at the top of the ticket, croaks. Katie, it's all figured out for you. You don't even need to think from here on out.
I don't need to think, yeah.
You're done. We have done the thinking for you, Katie. Mm-hmm.
Groupthink.
You know what? You need to show up in November. You don't even really have to pay attention for the rest of it, because now you know Cory Booker cares enough about you, a woman. Now, he's still in the race. He still wants to be president, and he doesn't want Elizabeth Warren to be president. He doesn't want Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand. I forgot about her because she's mostly forgettable. And these other women, no. Cory Booker has the sense to know that Katie needs a woman on the ticket.
He's going to be the champion for our generation.
Do you feel relieved
for
now?
Our gender.
You don't even you don't have to think. You don't have to plan. You don't have to prepare, because women, you know, women worry a lot. They need to be taken care of. Women need to be tended to make sure that they know how important they are, know how valued they are as women. And women, you know, women go to the bathroom a lot, so they probably just vote. They probably decide in the bathroom how they're going to vote, and they decide while they're in the stalls talking to each other, because some women do that, Annie doesn't, and they decide in April of 2019, Cory Booker, did you hear Cory Booker said he's going to have a woman on his ticket? He's got my vote. Let's just shut her down and go drink wine and paint things on Friday night and talk about Desperate Housewives. That's what women do. Is that what Christine does, Tony?
Yeah.
It's just, it's Christine
basically,
through and through.
Yeah.
I hate it.
She's a slave to her hormones, too, like all of you.
Where are you sleeping tonight?
In the shed.
How does in that the she not, shed. Though, how, seriously, how does Cory Booker or anyone do any of the, say or do any of that with a straight face? They have to know.
Because
they
then,
know they're pandering.
Yeah.
How do they... How does the whole audience not know that they're pandering?
He has no woman at home that he's married to that's going to throw her shoe at him when he gets home and tell him how ridiculous that statement was.
The scariest part of that clip is the audience. The audience is like, yeah, baby, let's go.
I guarantee you he has people, women on his staff.
He better.
Telling him that this is a good thing to do.
He better, because every time he's on one of those Senate hearings and he's questioning people, he's like, how many transgender people do you have on your staff? How many gay? And it's, and people are like, I don't know. I don't really ask the people who work for me what their sexuality is. I don't think I'm supposed to. Am I supposed to do that?
They all have their thing. Cory Booker is the champion for gender. I think Pete Buttigieg is going to be the champion for LGBTQ. They have to have these things, these societal things, in order for us to divert from their policies. Look, I'm that person. Mm-hmm. I'm that champion for gender.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
I'm the boss.
She's the champion for stupid.
Yes.
For stupidity. I said the other day.
I couldn't say that.
I probably can't either.
You just did.
I said the other day, I was told I should take some B6. And I said, I have B12. Can I just take a half of one of those? And someone's like, that's something Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would say. And I was like,
a half of one?
Yes. If it's half of B12, shouldn't it be a B6?
Mm-hmm. No.
This doesn't work that way?
It's two different things.
It doesn't work that way?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, Katie?
Half
of B12 should be a B6?
I don't know anything about vitamins. I don't take any vitamins.
Well, clearly I know a lot about vitamins. Tom, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I hear that. I'm always excited to hear your take on all this, especially when these men call and like they're going to talk down to you and all that.
I'm just always glad that all of those men on their perches are listening to me. That makes me happy.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I wanted to touch on, like, you're talking about champion for, you know, being the champion for women.
Mm-hmm.
But only if they only go as high as vice president only, not the president to talking down to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I hear from this guy.
You know, like I said, if Cory Booker thinks it's so important to have that, he's committed to having a woman, not a specific woman that is highly qualified, just any woman as the VP on his ticket, why doesn't he just step aside and let one of the women running take care of business on their own?
Exactly. Exactly.
Tom?
Well, that's like saying I think it's past time that we have a woman quarterback on one of the NFL teams. I think it's time.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. Let's make that happen. Tom, thank you for calling the show. I appreciate it. Eric, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie. By the way, hey, that shirt is great. I got the shirt. It's awesome. I just got to tell you that one thing.
Woo!
But you got to remember here, aren't women supposed to do and vote as their husbands and boyfriends and bosses tell them?
I don't know a lot of women who are supposed to do what their husbands tell them that are still happily married.
To quote a woman that we don't want to hear from anymore.
Oh, for sure.
You know? I had to bring that one up.
I love that. And I one of my favorite things about that whole Hillary comment about how women vote the way their husbands and bosses tell them to is just the automatic assumption that every woman's boss is a man. I don't think that's actually the case.
That's what makes it so perfect for what you were talking about.
Absolutely.
Great show as always, Annie. Keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. Eric got a shirt, the Annie Fry Show t-shirt, at our 971talk.com/merch store that you can get yours as well. I've had some comments too, Jack, on our webcam chat on YouTube, FM News Talk 97.1 YouTube channel. You can watch the show every day. Says, FYI, my Annie Fry shirt arrived yesterday, and it is truly a quality shirt.
It sure is.
You will be happy that you purchased this shirt, and you will want to wear it all the time because it's super comfy. Let's get to one more call before we break. Mike, thanks for calling the show.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Annie, you know, most of these politicians, they basically, what my grandfather would always say, they're on the if come maybe. If you vote for me, what's going to come, and maybe you're going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, thank you. I appreciate that. That's funny. I think that being this far out from anything that is actually tangibly purposeful for people who, you know, you may not be like me. There is no Democratic candidate that's anywhere close to even possibly in consideration for my vote. I will honestly say I held my nose and voted for Trump in 2016 because I knew that my vote for Donald Trump was a vote against Hillary Clinton. And it was in Illinois. So I couldn't collect enough dead relatives to overturn that blue state, red for Trump. However, I will say that my vote for Donald Trump in 2020 is very, very validated by the things that he's done so far in 2 years. And I think a lot of people are paying attention to the fact that so much time was wasted on collusion. And we've seen in the Mueller report some of the things that President Trump did in the midst of this investigation happening. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, he did some things that have raised some eyebrows, and I understand why they are raising eyebrows, but I also understand the frame of mind that knowing that after 2.5 months or years of investigation, that there is nothing to show for collusion, nothing to subsidize this Democratic leftist crazy talk idea that he somehow stole an election from Hillary Clinton and you, the American voter, with the help of a foreign country, that he did not do that. Back me into a corner and see what I'm capable of. Please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Just ask people who are very close to me.
Don't
keep me under wraps. Surround me with really good lawyers to say, Donald, I know that you're feeling right now. Mr. Trump, I know that you have emotions and it's important to get those emotions out, but we are not going to do anything illegal. And then you don't do anything illegal and you allow the investigation to continue and you move forward. And I challenge you to investigate in the same way, with the same far-reaching effort that they looked into Donald Trump. Do that with any other president of the United States and see what you come up with there. I think you would be equally displeased. 314-241-9797. Phone calls and signs of the apocalypse when we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A couple of very important updates. Breaking over the commercial break there, Tony.
MoDOT has just tweeted out that Interstate 55 southbound is closed past Route Z. So that is closed. Southbound lanes there are closed. So if you are heading that way, again, that's 55 southbound past Route Z, you'll use an alternative route because that's bad news.
All right, Katie.
Police in Brazil took a parrot into custody Monday after it alerted two alleged drug dealers to authorities. And the parrot was screaming,
"What?
Mama Policia," which means Mama Police. So now he's in the custody. So
what do you do with a parrot in custody?
What does Mama Policia mean?
It means Mama Police.
Oh, who knew?
Mama what? Policia.
That's so weird. How do you take a parrot into custody?
I know.
What
right?
do you do? What do you do with
right.
it?
It says he must have been trained for this. An officer involved in the operation told Brazilian broadcasters.
Smart parrot.
As soon as the police got close, he started shouting. Good times.
Maybe the police should not look as much like police. I mean, I'm not like supporting drug dealers and their parrots, but I just think it's fun. Did they take the drug dealers into custody or just the parrot?
Gosh, I didn't read that far. Maybe just the parrot.
I just know that there's a parrot in custody.
Sacrifice the parrot.
And that is worth reporting on.
Now. Signs of the apocalypse.
As if
on the Annie Fry Show.
That wasn't one of them.
If we all peed in the shower.
Oh, boy.
It'd save 1.3 trillion gallons of water every year.
How?
I guess because you're not
flushing?
Flushing the toilets anymore.
Please don't pee in my shower, anybody.
There's an article that has gone viral from a website called I Effing Love Science.
Oh.
How about that?
One of these legitimate nice. Sources.
Making a case why we should all pee in the shower. It's because Americans would save 1.3 trillion gallons of water a year by not flushing the toilet all those times.
Mm. Ow!
No? Never?
Pee in the shower?
Never?
You don't pee in the shower.
Never?
You pee in the toilet. It's right next to the shower.
I'm a germaphobe, so it's not something that I make a habit of, but...
Sometimes.
Sometimes I'm not even showering. I just take a right instead of a left, and I pee in the shower.
I'm going to sit here and say that I've never done it.
Got to take a whiz, and all of a sudden...
It's different for a man to pee in the shower than a woman.
True. Not be telling the truth.
You gross.
Franzia, you guys wine drinkers?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Box wine?
Yep.
What are my options?
My mom. Mama Chris is a box wine lady.
I can take down some box wine.
Keeps it right there on the sink, so the spigot, in case any drips go into the sink. That's how
canned
that works.
Wine. I can do it all.
Are we talking about the shower peeing? Or
Franzia. Well, all goes together. Now has wine juice boxes.
I could get behind
that. So not the big box. Just now you got little boxes.
Like a little high C box.
Each one is 500 milliliters, which is about three glasses of wine.
Wow.
There's pictures, but they're tiny.
Wow. Three glasses of wine?
Three glasses of wine in each juice box. Wine looking juice box. You know you want one.
Yeah, you bet your sweet bottom dollar. I do. Am I really secretly a grandpa?
I hope those are very
these things that I say.
We're all asking that question.
Four different types: Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, crisp white, and rosé.
I like.
They call them little fronds.
Underwood wines.
Wine boxes
comes in cans.
Yep,
and that's a legit thing too because you could take these cans.
Oh yeah,
like you could put them in a cooler. You're not taking glass anywhere. It's the equivalent of I think two glasses of wine.
It is
Underwood wines.
Dang, there you go.
Just saying. You have options. Good to have at a pool, too, if you don't like to have glass at a pool.
Right?
Moving on up. I'm in the wine department.
Be careful, though. Three glasses per box.
Yeah, that has me cross-eyed. I can't. That's a lot of wine.
All right, check this out. There's a 64-year-old guy from Austria. 10.5 years ago, he broke out of prison. He escaped to one of the Canary Islands off the coast of West Africa, which is known for having some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. It's a major tourist area. I said 10.5 years ago, he broke out of prison and went to this island.
Mm.
Sunday night, this past Saturday night, he showed up back in Salzburg, Austria, where he had broken out of jail with two suitcases in his hands, walked up to a police officer and said, "I'm a fugitive. I broke out of jail 10.5 years ago. I'm turning myself back in." He said the reason why is he had just gotten tired of living on a tropical beach.
Okay.
He was over it.
Bored.
Yeah. 10.5 years living in paradise, goes back to the town that he broke out of prison in and said, "I'm ready to go back in jail.
Just put me back.
I'm done.
In my life.
I'm done living. I'm done living on the beach. I'm over it. I get sick of it."
It's like the opposite of the end of Shawshank Redemption.
I don't know how you get sick of living on a beach. How does that happen?
And how do you prefer to go back to jail?
Yeah, no.
Instead of
everything is done and provided for you at a certain quality level, but I mean, you just do. You don't think
this might be the last one. We'll see if we have time, but going out with a bang here. There's a guy from Cloverdale, California. He's only been identified by his first name, Dion. 2 years ago, tragically, this guy lost his right leg in a freak skydiving accident. Doesn't really give any details, but must have been a bad landing or something. Loses his leg skydiving. 2 years later, last weekend, he lost the prosthetic leg that was replacing the leg that he lost skydiving. How did he lose his prosthetic leg? Skydiving.
Oh my gosh.
Jumped out of another plane, and he says, "My fake leg went flying." Fortunately for him, it landed in a lumber yard, and the employees there found it, called the sheriff's office, and reunited Dion with his leg.
Fake leg went flying.
Week. He says, yes, he plans on to continue skydiving. He's lost two right legs.
You never give up on your passion.
While skydiving.
Would you skydive? Have you skydived?
I.
Skydove?
It is not for me. I'm afraid of heights as it is.
Oh.
I have no interest in it at all. One time, this is like 20, almost 20 years ago. 18 years ago, something like that, when I was on a different radio station, I was going to do commercials for a skydiving company, but I had to skydive to do it. So for the money, because I'm a sellout, I said,
"Big butt.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll skydive once so I can do commercials for skydiving. Maybe I'll like it, you know, and then I'll at least be able to talk about my experience."
Skydiving's not like a maybe I'll try it, maybe I'll like it.
Terrified.
Yeah. Sick to your stomach.
And then the last second, the deal fell through and I didn't have to do it.
That's scary.
But I had agreed to do it.
Would you do it?
No, 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 no. Mm-mm. I would think about all the things that could go wrong.
Like losing a leg?
Yeah, like losing a leg. No,
twice.
Thank you.
Anyone want to guess if I would do it?
I'm going to say no.
Hell no.
No, Chad's going to say no chance.
Heck no. Absolutely not. Dave Glover Show coming up.
Would you
up
let
next.
Your kids?
No.
Okay.
I won't let them ride
Danger.
Motorcycles. You guys can ride motorcycles. My children, no. I created them. My rules.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.